And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. Back in the studio with Keith. Keith, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I don't know why I said that so loudly. I think I'm just enthusiastic.
I'm also enthusiastic. I was worried when you were playing with the knobs that when I first spoke, I would be loud. So thanks for taking that.
Playing with the knobs. I'm always playing with the knobs. It's funny. We came in an hour early just because I have a penchant for playing with the knobs.
Yeah, this is the best place for knobs. Besides maybe like a 60s science fiction movie.
Yeah.
With like banks of old computer monitors.
Yeah, this simulates those conditions.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely finding that I do have a love for knob playing.
Yeah, I like when we ask the computer a question and it prints a tiny little ticket and it's something very profound that will change the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, only here do we get that now.
I'm disappointed it's such a tiny little ticket. I was hoping it would be like those tickers that just endlessly come out, stock market from the 1920s.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's different.
That
we can identify that in this studio, just like a 60s science fiction movie, all the tropes, but just tinier paper.
Tropes.
Trying to save the world here. That's why.
That's right. What can we say? Let's update you a little bit on what is going on. Again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Jeff, your host. This is Now We're Talking. This is episode 2, and Keith has been with me along the way. Now, we did our first episode last week, but we also did a couple fill-in shows before that. So today on the show, we are going to have a segment, a pre-recorded interview with Martin Acosta, who's a musician here in Vancouver. Keith is here as always. We're going to play that segment. We're potentially, don't hold me to it, but we might be even trying to get Martin on the phone. He's currently watching, it's the final game. We've talked about Copa before. Today is the final game between Argentina and Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured if we can get him on the phone, it would be interesting for you guys to chat. Because as we'll see in the interview, he talks about some themes in his life about initially pursuing soccer and ultimately pursuing the arts. And I thought that really dovetailed with your own experience, which we've talked about. We talked about last week's episode. So maybe that'll happen. If it doesn't happen, that's okay, because we're going to get Martin in the studio in the future. But Keith, I figured we'd start out the show today by reflecting, Keith, on how we met and our shared experience in the world of theater.
Yeah.
So how do you remember us meeting? Do you remember?
I don't remember the first time we met. But I remember that because I wasn't the lead in the plays at that time, I took a little responsibility with sort of hanging out with the younger guys. And I think there was a little group of them, and you were amongst them at that time.
I was amongst the
group. You're only a year younger than me, so let's not.
But I was 6'3", which I still am. I'm currently about 200 pounds.
Yeah,
at the time.
I thought you were the director. That's why I was nice to you.
Exactly. A very youthful looking director. I was 6'3" then, as I am now, but I was only 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the littler group, but my head was popping over all of them.
Yeah.
But the history here is that we went to high school together in Victoria.
Yeah.
And the high school we went to sort of had a theater program that was sort of one of the advantages of that school. So it had it was a nice theater there, and multiple shows were done. But I remember, for me, getting involved in theater, like we were saying for you and Martin as well, I was trying to segue from sports, which is what I knew in terms of socializing, into something different. And I had taken the prerequisite acting classes that you had to take in grade 8 or grade 9. And I was curious about getting involved in the show, and I did, but I was very uncertain and shy about how to talk to people and get involved.
Right, yeah.
And you played a role in sort of welcoming me into the group.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I tried to be altruistic about it there before, and I realized that it was a little false, because what happened was I just thought you were funny.
Okay.
And there's a couple of people, friends that we still have to this day, that I just thought were funny. So it looked like I was ushering in the new era.
Right.
But really, I thought you were funny.
Well, I appreciate that, man. It wasn't pure altruism.
Yeah. But never think it is with me.
It worked to my advantage nonetheless. But we ended up doing theater for 2 or 3 years together. And, it's an interesting segue into, there's a sponsor for this week's show. And I didn't tell you this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure whether this will be true of all episodes, but this week's episode, I need to, for full disclosure, acknowledge, is sponsored by a local area actor called Rory Updike. Now, this is full disclosure, he has contributed to the show.
This is ad revenue.
There is ad revenue.
Sort of.
And so what we'll do, we're not going to do it right away, I'm just sort of putting it out there. It's this portion of the show where Keith and I are discussing theater is sponsored by Rory Updike, local Vancouver actor. And what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to play a monologue that he's recorded. But we'll get back to that in a second. I just want to acknowledge this portion of the show is brought to you by Rory Updike. But Keith, what are your recollections about theater? What did it mean to you at the time? And what? How did it influence, you know,
I'm not sure if
later adventures with writing and everything else?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much we'll get into it today based on Martin's availability. But I also came from sports and ended up in the theater. And the timeline isn't as clean as I want it to be, but basically I was a little bit disillusioned with the culture of sport, mainly grown men yelling in your face. And
yeah, there's a lot of that.
That's a lot.
We talked about this before. That's why, for me, I loved baseball. I think that was the sport that I loved watching and also had an ability to play well.
Yeah.
Other sports, soccer, basketball, just dabbling, but never really playing on organized teams. And I stepped away from baseball whenever most people do, probably when I was 10 or something.
Yeah.
Then I went to play again when I was 13 or 14, and I was just so disheartened by like this like cruel streak amongst people. And even I guess I was a sensitive boy, but I just couldn't imagine what the purpose was of subjecting myself to that. And it wasn't even that I was specifically a victim of it, but even just observing it happening,
being around it.
I just my instinct was that there must be something better than
that.
It's
a peek into the adult world is what it is. And at that age, you're trying to form yourself into a better person than the world is trying to make you become.
And like you've said before, it's one of the biggest problems is some of the adult figures who, I don't know what it is, they've got an axe to grind, or they have lost dreams that they're trying to recapture through the kids.
Their self-worth is reflected in how they do in sport or how their team does, and they become horrible people about it.
So that was the worst. But anyway, so we decided to move away from those cultures and to find something different in the area of the arts.
Theater.
We started doing theater, we were dancing, we were doing box steps.
Oh yeah, lots.
All the things that would have gotten us beaten up some of those cruel figures
we
described.
On pointed toe
from
the fields.
We fled with a kickball change and explored that world. But now, of course, you're a writer. We talked about that last week.
Yep.
And was your involvement in theater, did that somehow segue into defining yourself as
a
writer?
In any way that a big change opens your mind to new ideas. There was a lot in the theater that appealed to me. The camaraderie, I never felt that way in sport. I was very singular. I wasn't a very good team guy. Whereas in theater, you're all in it together.
Yeah.
There's adoration constantly. Something that I've never had that any other time in my life than with theater, where you do something and people stand there looking at you and then they clap.
Yeah,
like
hopefully.
That is very good for your self-esteem.
Even if it's an obligatory version of applause, it still is there nonetheless.
Yeah, there's a respect in that obligation.
Right.
If nothing else.
Right.
And respect is something that, I think you said, 13, 14, 15, you're probably not used to getting a lot of.
Yeah.
And I really, really liked it. And undoubtedly, it got me thinking about writing. I started writing poetry soon after I got into the theater and was reinforced by the attention of females. Which is the other large factor that
I have to say, I mean, in case you're a young person, let's say that you're a young heterosexual male and you're thinking of getting involved in theater and you're curious about girls. Well, the ratio is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of young guys doing it. There's a lot of young women doing it. And that definitely works to your advantage in terms of having interactions with young women.
It's hard to find any sort of orientation that would not do well in that circumstance because it's so welcoming.
Yeah.
It's so open.
True.
And all of that like sort of macho stuff we're talking about that exists in sport just isn't there.
That's true. Actually, that's another element of my involvement in the culture of theater is at a relatively young age, it really introduced me to a diverse group of people.
Yeah.
And demystified that.
Yeah.
And I think that contributed to me feeling like a more, I don't know, more supportive of people that are different than me.
Yeah, again, it's that whole you're in it together thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to have any of those strange things when you're up on stage, the lights are on, and you need to do something together. You need to say these lines together, or you need to make this dance great. Like, all that stuff falls away when you're performing.
Yeah.
And it stays with you. It really does.
Well, once again, if you're just tuning in, this is Jeff Bryant, the host of Now We're Talking. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in the studio with Keith Kennedy. We're talking about our shared memories doing theater together. And this segment of the show is sponsored by Rory Updike, who is a Vancouver-based actor.
Sorry, I'm going to laugh every time you say it.
It's a silly-sounding name.
It's a great name. I really like it.
But I think, I don't know, but I think one of the reasons he's investing in some of these sort of spots on community radio is to overcome the fact that his name's a little bit silly sounding. Mm-hmm. It's one of, like, for example, the band The Beatles, you've heard of them. That's a silly sounding name until you just associate with John Paul, George, and Ringo. Mm. So I think that's the mentality here. Rory Updike, okay, this sounds a little bit silly, but one day, I don't know if he'll be the Beatles of acting or not, but you got to start somewhere.
Could be.
Could be. So this portion of the show is, for full disclosure, is supported by Rory Updike, and he's actually requested that we play a recent monologue that he's crafted. I believe he actually wrote this in addition to performing it.
Oh, wow.
I believe he wrote it as well.
Wow.
So would you like to hear that, Keith?
I would love to hear that, Jeff.
Okay, let's go ahead and give that a listen.
And now, an improvised monologue brought to you with the assistance of dramatic music. I put my hands on my face and was confused and bewildered by what I felt. It was hair, and it was everywhere. Then I remembered, oh yes, I have a beard. I examined the contents of the medicine cabinet and found some dental floss. I couldn't remember what it was for, what to do with it. Regardless, I began flossing my teeth. My gums were bloodied. Not from flossing, just incidentally. They were bloody, it's a detail. I put down the floss. I grabbed a toothbrush, applied some toothpaste, and I began to brush my teeth. I brushed back, and I brushed forth. The whole time thinking, this is great. I'm a man with a beard, brushing his teeth.
And there it is. Rory Updike, Keith, impressions?
I don't do impressions, Jeff.
No, do an impression of Rory Updike and try to do it with, I mean, listen to that voice. First of all, let's talk through this. Yeah. First of all, what a voice.
Yeah, incredible.
And I should also be clear, the endorsement I'm making right now and some of drawing attention to some of the characteristics of his performance, this part is not paid for.
No.
This is...
No, Rory gets this for free.
This is for free. So that's been, all that stuff's been paid for. What a voice, right?
Yeah. I think he has a future in it.
In
acting.
In acting.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
In ENACTING.
Right.
In acting changes.
He's got a voice. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was... I definitely felt like the use of music enhanced the performance. Do you feel like actually, though, it could be a crutch?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to tell because the music's so effective. It's hard to tell where the music begins and where Rory ends.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really only one way for us to play with this idea. Why don't we, let's get that music back.
Oh, okay.
And
we
why don't, I think I've got it here somewhere. Oh, wow. I've got a version of this music. And why don't we get, do you want to try improvising a monologue? To be fair, that's Rory Updike. He's a professional actor.
Yeah, everyone
He's
should
written
know if I'm going
to
do that. Yeah.
Exactly. This is just improvised. But would you like to...
As long as it's not an impression, I'll do it.
Yeah, just do an impression of Keith. We'll get the music happening. You hear the music in there, Keith?
Yeah. Oh,
so in your own time, let the music settle. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Jeff Bryan. Now we're talking with Keith Kennedy in studio with some dramatic, thematic, cinematic music. And Keith is now going to improvise in his own time a monologue. Keith, in your own time.
Velcro. No more. Shoes come out of the box, vibrant, white, a swoosh. Loop, swoop, pull. Bunny ears, man, bunny ears.
Is that it?
I think so.
That was nice.
Was it?
Was that improvised?
Yes.
Well, I'm in the studio and I can tell you folks, Keith does not have a cheat sheet. Mm. In fact, if I'm honest, he was closing his eyes.
Mm.
And it looked
really
like,
feeling
looked
it.
Like you're conjuring up some imagery there. So did you find the music helpful to
do
that as an actor?
I was inspired by his ability to talk about something mundane, clearly.
Right.
But yeah, the music, it puts a smile on your face and it really does add some gravitas.
It does.
To what you're doing.
So it's almost like you'd want to, as an actor, if the music helps, to provide that gravitas. You'd almost want to take it into your auditions.
Yeah, bring a
boombox.
But
even the show itself. So I wonder what that would look like if you're cast in a show and you're rehearsing or you're performing. Yeah, you'd have to have a boombox always like playing your own music.
Or just your own music cues?
Yeah.
I guess it's like having a theme like that. People say if you walked into a room, what theme would you like to hear?
Yeah, I guess so. Right. Well, it seems like this Rory Updike character is really onto something. We want to thank Rory Updike for sponsoring the first portion of the show today. You're listening to Now We're Talking, hosted by Jeff Bryant with regular guest commentator Keith Kennedy here in studio. And that was basically the theater portion of the show. And on for something new.
It's time for Ask Keith Anything. That's right, folks. You can fax it in. You can mail it in. You can give us a call. You could even send over a mule. As long as there's a question for Keith to answer, that's pretty much the deal. Go ahead and ask Keith anything, and he'll answer it to the best of his ability. It could be hilarious. It could be forlorn. Too soon to say. But here we go, this week's edition of Ask Keith Anything.
Okay, so it is that time for Ask Keith Anything. It's a weekly segment in the show where you get the idea, you ask Keith anything. You can send us an email to nwtpod@gmail.com. You can also, by the way, if you're listening and you want to chime in, you can add to the conversation on Twitter by utilizing hashtag NWTPodcast. Keith, here we are for another edition of Ask Keith Anything. Thank you for your willingness to answer anything.
Yeah.
The question this week, which has been posed by a listener of the show, the listener is Rebecca, and she submitted her question from Kelowna, Kelowna, BC.
Okay.
Her question is, Keith, what is the most difficult position in sports? And I think what she means, I don't think she means like a pose, like a yoga position, but what position on the field. So I guess in a team sport. So Keith Kennedy answering the question, ask Keith anything, folks, on Now We're Talking. What is the most difficult position in sports?
That's a great question. Rebecca, was it? Thanks, Rebecca, by the way, for participating.
It was Rebecca.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Great question. I've thought about this before. Obviously, this sort of question leads you to think about some of the less glorified positions in sport, like being a lineman in football, for example, where you do a lot of hard work and you don't get any of the accolades. But when it comes to pure difficulty, my mind goes to goaltenders, for sure. And my first thought is soccer goaltenders, because they have to be very athletic. I mean, they're basically covering a giant net with athleticism. And I think the only reason that isn't my final answer here is that sometimes in a soccer game, they don't have to do anything. I just watched a game in the Euro recently where there were no shots on goal for 90 minutes, either team. So to refine my answer, I think the most difficult position in all of sport is the hockey goaltender, because of the size of the rink as well as the speed of the play, it's very hard to take a break. You have to be very, very athletic and very focused at all times. And if you do decide to take a play off, that's when you'll get scored on. And in hockey, as well as soccer, to be fair, but in hockey, you can be the hero or you can be the goat. And you could have a wonderful game and have one momentary lapse. And you're the reason it all went wrong.
So here this week, the question was, Keith, what is the most difficult position in sports? The short answer is...
yeah, it's being a goaltender in hockey, because it's a thankless job often. You have to be very, very talented. And sometimes it's you. It's your fault.
Being the goalkeep on ice.
Mm-hmm.
The goalkeep on ice.
The goalkeep on ice.
Well, I alluded earlier to the fact that we'd be having this, playing this pre-recorded interview with Martin Acosta, musician here in Vancouver, and how we'll talk about in the interview how his intention was to be an athlete. That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And he suffered an injury, changed the course of his life. I know that was it's a similar version of your story has a similar components to it. We talked about that last week, but that's a good segue. Keith's given us an answer here for the most difficult position in sports. Why not take this opportunity to dive in to the interview this week with Martin Acosta?
Truthfully, I had no desire as a kid. I'm not one of those kids that spent all their time in the room dreaming about being a rock star or about making music or anything like that. I was sort of an athlete kid, And when I busted my knee, I was a soccer player. When I busted my knee, I sort of, my physiotherapist told me that I wasn't going to be able to get a scholarship realistically anymore or anything like that. And all that opportunity sort of faded away. And he said, you know, you're going to need some sort of a hobby to get you through this, because he didn't want me sort of going through any sort of depression or anything like that.
Wow.
I busted to my parents. I was like, hey, you know, I've always wanted to play the drums. So they rented me like this really crappy Westbury kit that, I mean, like, you probably, pots and pans would have been an upgrade, I would say. And I started smashing away on that for like 4 days. And then they were like, okay, well, listen, we're really annoyed by this. So we're going to get you some drum lessons. So I took like 4 or 5 drum lessons. And then after that, I started, you know, was able to play basic beats. And I quickly moved on to that, from that to the guitar, because, you know, it's kind of hard to play drums with by yourself. And, you know, I didn't have a band really. And so I learned to play guitar. And at that point, my evolution was clear. I was like, okay, well, I can't really play other people's songs because I'm not good enough. So I started writing. And
just to stop for 1 second, how old were you when that, I want to focus on that moment when you decided to take up playing the drums first. How old were you when that happened?
I was 14 when I started playing the drums, and I was 16 when I fully gave up playing soccer, and that's when I started playing guitar and was in this band.
Imagine if you'd taken up stamp collecting or something. You know, I'm just thinking about, like, as you say, oftentimes for people, whether it is sports or whether it's music or all those sort of like adolescent fantasies of something really cool to do, like be a rock star, whatever. It's for you, you arrived at that out of necessity and because it was recommended you choose something. It's so interesting that you chose something that's actually still a part of your life.
Absolutely. And you know what? Truthfully, when I chose music over sports, I still didn't think I was ever going to try to make a living at music. It was just something to get through. My brothers are both engineers. I come from a very academic family. And it was grade 11 when I was actually offered an opportunity to record like in a development stage with Atlantic Records. And they sort of phoned me up out of nowhere. We had a bunch of demos up on mp3.com, which is,
I remember that,
ancient.
I remember that. This is like circa 2000, 2001.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we got a manager. We started, and at this point is when it started becoming like, oh, this might be a possibility that I might actually become famous or something ridiculous like
yeah.
that. And so at that point, it started taking precedent over things like school, and
right.
Which were previously the highest priority on my list, anyway, on my parents' list, certainly.
How did your family or your parents feel? On the one hand, they're seeing that you're having pretty remarkable success from the boy with the pots in the pants to this level of, like, regardless of superstardom, you know, a very viable, like, trajectory towards maybe being a professional musician, but at the same time, it's sacrificing those academic expectations. Did they have mixed feelings about that?
They definitely did. I mean, like I said, my uncle's a professor at Penn State University. My brothers are both engineers with master's degrees and all that, and they're older than me, so they already had that at that time. And I'm this kid that's saying, you know what, I don't think I want to go to university right away. And that was a big thing for especially my father. My father was had very high expectations. My mother was a little bit more supportive from the get-go, but my dad had to be like the stern force saying, okay, well, you got to finish school before you do any of this. And I was like, you know, I don't think so.
Wow.
And yeah, so at 21, I ended up signing a deal with Universal and moved to Germany for a bit, made an expensive album in Los Angeles before we moved, and toured a lot around Europe for a bunch of years. And it was a very, you know, fruitful experience in terms of memories and all that stuff. Financially, it was a crapshoot, I would say.
I'm curious, is there a sadness that it didn't work out? And as I say, it's so interesting because people have all sorts of different goals, but I don't think a lot of people actually, I know that most people don't get to the point where they're signed and they're young and they have that youthful energy and they're seeing that it's working. So is there sadness that it didn't materialize or is it almost like relief that you went through that process and came out on the other end of it?
I think there's a little bit of sadness. I mean, I think if you speak to anybody who's been to the point where I was fortunate enough to get to, where you've signed a major record deal, you've made a really expensive album, you've made a video, and you're on tour, and your stuff's on the radio, and all that stuff. I think it's always going to be a little bit of like what could have been if it had kept going. But I think also 95% of the people that get to that point end up where I ended up, which is to say you get chewed out and spit up by the industry, and you end up with pretty much nothing except the memories that you had. So I think to really answer your question, I think I'm glad I had those experiences. There's a little bit of like what could have been, and
yeah.
I wish we would have blown up, and I'd be the next. I wouldn't have been the next Bieber. I would have been Bieber before Bieber was Bieber.
Pre-Bieber.
Yeah, pre-Bieber.
You could have been the pre-Bieber so that now you could take far more credit than you currently can for having made Bieber what he is. Because right now that's really on thin ice if you make that assertion.
That's right. But, I mean, I'm happy. And it's made me the human being and the musician that I am today. And I still get to make a living playing music and creating music. So I think that I just take it as part of a whole experience that has led me to the point where I am today, and I can't be mad at that.
That is interesting, you make a good point about how, you know, if you reflect on how it could have gone further, it's like, yeah, but to what end? And certainly there's the idea of, you know, playing out the idea of recording multiple albums, and people will love the music, and they'll, you know, I'll play around the world, and they'll sing the words that I wrote. Like, that's a thing. But I think I realize as I get older, when people maintain that high ambition, if they might never actually get to that place anyway, even if they are the most successful ever, because you're sort of, I don't know, it's just like, I think it's, you're chasing happiness, right? You get into this, I think you can get into a habit of chasing happiness. And I feel like with what happened for you, and I can relate to it to a certain degree, is you know that you gave it a shot. And so you don't have to do what a lot of people do, which is look back on their life and say, if I just picked up that guitar, I could have been great. It's like you can look back on your life and say, I did pick up the guitar, and it was what it was, and it's a big part of my life. But I don't have to spend my whole life wondering where it could have gone. I know where it went, and I went to Germany, and I had all these interesting life experiences that a lot of people don't get to have.
Exactly, and I'm fortunate to have had that opportunity, and I worked hard enough in order to get there. But anyone will tell you that's been there. It's a huge elements of luck and knowing the right people and being at the right place at the right time that factors into all that stuff. And I mean, I think that if you want to extend it further, that same mentality goes into really everything in life. I mean, just like, you know, getting a job at the right firm if you're a lawyer or something. I mean, it's just all timing, and I was fortunate enough to have the good timing.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is almost becoming like a support group for you, and I should start a support group for failed original musicians who've totally come to terms with it and
yeah,
just allow the healing to begin. So that was my conversation with Martin. It was kind of a brief conversation, but you know what? As I say, I think that Martin's going to be coming into the studio, if not next week, soon, and we're going to continue that conversation. There's also a possibility, I'm still crossing my fingers, if he gets the chance, he might give us a shout. He's currently watching Argentina play Chile,
yeah,
in the finals for Copa America, and Martin is from Argentina. This is a big moment, but I'm going to keep an eye and see if he's going to give us a call. But yeah, that was an interesting interview to talk to him about how initially in the conversation we talked about how his path changed out of necessity, and he was talking about how initially he just started playing the drums sort of crudely and then graduated to playing the guitar and everything else. And then later in the conversation we talked about, as you heard, the challenges of being an original musician. But I thought it was really interesting how it paralleled your own experience more or less at the same age,
mm-hmm,
in making that adjustment. And just so interesting how for each of you, in your case 20 years later, similar amount of time for him, a little bit less, but you guys are both still doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played a little soccer in Europe when I was younger, and
that's right,
had a shot, as they say.
Yeah, like, and you guys were both at a certain level.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, he was, I think, at quite high level as well, right?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm looking forward at some point to have you guys talk about it.
But
I
was young. I think I was 16 at the time, and my coach told me there was a scout. And for those who don't know, it's just kind of like a big deal when someone pays attention to you in the professional ranks. And I kind of blew it, I thought, at the time. In hindsight, who knows? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I had the mentality to be a professional, as we were talking about with the focus earlier, as a goaltender or something. It's so mental, and I don't think I had it. But
it's amazing to think somebody of that age, not just having the physical ability.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Or the ability to analyze the game, but the emotional.
Yeah, I did not have the composure. So, yeah, and I went looking for something else, basically. I felt like I'd blown it. And then a girl I was very attracted to in high school said, "You should be in a play." And I said, "I will listen to you, pretty girl."
And where is she now?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Keith.
She's a professional soccer player.
She's a professional soccer player. And I do have her on the phone.
Oh, no.
Are you ready to talk to her?
Oh, no.
Turns out she's going to tell you about how you shouldn't have gone on that play.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you've made a big mistake.
Oh,
with
no.
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, that's
scared
great.
Her away.
I was going to have to tell my wife to turn off the.
That's
the radio
too bad.
For a second.
Well, again, if you're just tuning in, folks, it's CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting from UBC in Vancouver. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. Now We're Talking airs every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Want to learn more? Well, here's what you do. I was considering just letting that hang for a bit.
See if anybody answers.
Yeah, just to see. I'm just curious to know whether is there anybody that's being left hanging.
Want to know
more? Here's what you do. Send us an email at nwtpod@gmail.com. Send us your feedback. Also, you can hashtag nwtpodcast. You can see I'm still remembering what it is because mm-hmm. We're all learning together. What are the hashtags? What are the email addresses? But you can find us on Twitter. You can also send a question for Keith to answer next week at Ask Keith Anything. Send us a question at nwtpod@gmail.com. Keith, let's try something that we've never, ever, ever tried ever before in our two-show history. Let's get a little bit of a vibe here.
What's that?
I'm thinking let's have a little I was thinking we could just have a campfire.
I love campfires.
But why not have a Hawaiian campfire?
What? Is it a luau just because there's Hawaiian music?
There's going to be a luau.
I like those two things together, I pictured a glistening pig. Is that normal?
On like a rotisserie.
Yeah, sure. That's what I thought.
A glistening, rotating pig.
Yeah. Instantly. That's funny to think that just two things could come together, and I saw a thing.
Yeah, let's
Let's
take this in for a second and see what images it conjures up.
Well, hula music makes me think of hula skirts. And
hula skirts.
Dancing.
Lays.
Mm-hmm. Flower lays.
It sounds like we're close to the fire, too.
Yeah, maybe a little too close.
Yeah, I might want to back off a bit.
Close that we won't be able to wear our smoky clothes inside later.
Well, let's try getting closer. Oh, it's warmer, isn't it?
Yeah.
That feels nice.
Yeah.
As long as you keep an eye on the smoke, which direction it's blowing,
mm-hmm.
It's nice to be close to the fire, isn't it?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So this is Keith and I at a Hawaiian campfire, just kind of taking it easy.
You threw me for a loop with the Hawaiian music.
Yeah. I figured why not give it that extra little punch.
Mm-hmm. You know what's great about campfires in Hawaii?
No.
It means many things.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah. No, the word campfire, it's like aloha.
Right.
Yeah.
It's ubiquitous.
So you can go to the campfire and end up in the pool.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the campfire and end up at a bar.
Yeah.
You got to be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is nice and relaxed. You know, sometimes you're on the radio, I feel like, and you don't have Hawaiian music, and you don't have the sound of a campfire, it runs the risk of being a little bit clinical.
Yeah, just two dopes talking about nothing.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, it's a party.
Now all of a sudden, something's happening.
Have you ever been to a luau?
I think I have.
I don't think I ever have, and I would love that. I love buffets. I'm a huge buffet fan. I think I told you the story about going to a Chinese buffet and eating a plate of bacon.
Yeah.
Just because I could.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest days of my life, Jeff, is eating a plate
Where was
of bacon.
It?
It was in Victoria when we were younger. One of our friends had a...
That's another island, Vancouver Island.
Yeah. One of our friends had a birthday party.
Okay.
At a Chinese buffet. Yeah.
Wow.
But I've never been to a luau, and I've always wanted to because a lot of Hawaiian stuff is like fresh, like right out of the ocean, right?
Yeah. You should do it in Hawaii.
I would love that.
Would you like to go to Hawaii?
I would love to. Will you reimburse me?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be good for the show.
Yeah. We can go to the...
Well, you know what we could try is if you actually... why don't we get you... Let's get you calling in from Hawaii just to simulate what that would be like because I feel like maybe if this goes well, it could lead Keith to flying you to Hawaii. But the budget is so slim for the show, especially fresh out of the gates here. As I've said, it's only episode 2 of Now We're Talking, hosted by Jeff Bryan on CITR 101.9 FM. Why would we want to spend all that budget on spec when maybe we could just get you to, simulate a call from Hawaii? Yes, hello?
Hello.
Is that Keith?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Where are you?
I'm in Hawaii.
Oh, how's it feel?
It's warm.
It is warm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really warm down here. I guess I always knew it was a tropical climate, but I'm near the campfire, so it's quite warm.
And what was your budget for the trip here?
It was a very expensive flight. I'm not a big fan of layovers and waiting for days for planes, so I did a direct flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Good for you, man. Well, I'm glad that you're there.
Yeah. And you know how we were talking about reimbursing about things?
Right.
Right before I left?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so what's the deal with that, man?
Well, it's funny, actually, in the interim, since you left the studio, I was just remarking how it's a good idea to simulate having somebody call in from Hawaii.
Yeah.
In the interest of preserving the budget, which is really slim and stretched at the moment. As I say, the show's just debuted just last week.
Yeah.
And that way, see how it goes, and then, work towards that as a goal. So my impression was that you were actually just stepping outside the studio to make a phone call to simulate calling from Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't remember anything. I don't remember simulation being part of this.
I didn't spell it out, did I? I didn't spell it. I just assumed that we were on the same page there.
I think I'm going to be sick.
So you actually are in Hawaii. What's the sum total?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going to pay for it. So it was like, $2,200 maybe?
Is it U.S. or Canadian?
Oh, God, I don't know that either.
If I'm honest, I'm actually just drawing out the conversation just to try to figure out what I'm going to do about this because I can't afford it either way.
Oh,
I'm thinking, Keith, probably the longer that you're there, the less likely I'm going to be able to reimburse you. So you might want to just
come back
to the studio, get off the phone, and frankly, just cut your losses at this point.
Okay,
I'll see you soon.
Okay,
bye. Folks, if you're just joining us, that was Keith Kennedy. I don't know, I guess making the mistake of his life, not understanding what we're doing here and actually going to Hawaii when I had just suggested that we simulate it. So I don't know, maybe we should start a Kickstarter campaign or something. And back now live in the studio, I have with me Keith Kennedy. Keith, welcome back.
Oh, hey man, how's it going?
So I was just explaining to the listeners.
Yeah?
We might need to start a Kickstarter campaign or something to cut into those losses.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the feeling that I need to pay more attention in the meetings. Maybe that's just me taking too much blame on myself.
Or even better, why don't we have meetings?
Oh!
See, that's my fault. That's not your fault. Yeah. I don't want you to be too hard on yourself.
Yeah. You know what they had in Hawaii?
No.
Pizza.
Did they have pizza?
Like, that was a lot.
You went all the way there and had pizza.
Yeah. You know how people here say, like, you shouldn't put pineapple on pizza?
Right.
Yeah,
they were wrong.
Yeah.
You should.
All about that. They actually put Spam on things a lot, too.
You seem actually quite chipper, given the circumstances.
Well, I got a suntan.
Okay.
And I met somebody on the plane back.
Cool.
He was a bone-breaking martial artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's like a real thing. I don't know if it's some Samoan or maybe it's Hawaiian.
Okay.
He was a real sweetheart. You know that thing where you just meet a big guy and he can break your bones, but he turns out to be all good.
Yeah, he could break your bones,
yeah,
but he doesn't want to.
And I think the threat of that makes you want to like him. I felt like I probably should let him have the window seat when he asked.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you're just joining us, it's CITR 101.9 FM. I'm here with Keith in studio, Keith Kennedy. You're listening to Now We're Talking, hosted by Jeff Bryant. And Keith, I think it might be time for us to do this week's edition of Top 5. Now, do you want to do the Top 5 by the fire, or do you want to move on in a different context here?
The fire does remind me a little bit of my outstanding debts.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's phase that out just gently. Oh, that was nice, wasn't it? What are we doing this week for Top 5? Let's see what we got here, Keith. It looks like, this week we're doing Top 5 Reasons Why We're Currently Wearing Suits in the Studio.
Oh.
Why are we doing that?
That's great.
So have you figured out the sequence? I know that there's 5 reasons why we're doing that. I know that.
There's many reasons
I'm
why
sure the
we
listenership
wear
know
suits.
That.
Yeah.
But what we've done is you've put it into sequence.
Yeah.
So let's just dive right in. And what's number 5? What's the top the fifth reason why?
Number 5, something that people don't know about us, is that we're wedding crashers.
Wedding crashers.
Yeah.
So always at the ready.
Yeah. We often have come from crashing a wedding or are on our way to crashing a wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that something we're doing today? Because I hadn't thought about that.
I did one earlier.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. Yeah.
Was it?
It had cake.
You're having a good food day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The food that you're eating today is kind of like a child's birthday party, which is how I eat.
A luau for your child's birthday party. So here's a dead pig, children.
I'm not saying that with any judgment whatsoever. I do eat as if it's I'm in grade two and going to a birthday.
Yeah.
I love hot dogs. I do. I love getting a hot dog at Costco.
Yeah. Don't you like clowns too, which is weird? Like no one else does.
Incidental to my dietary preferences. I do.
Just because it's kids' parties when you think
so
of it.
So top five reasons why we're currently wearing suits in the studio. There's no cameras in here.
No.
There's no audience here.
No.
There's no reason for us to be these are not thrown together suits.
No.
These are nice suits. They're clean, they're lint free. We've removed all the lint from them.
Yeah.
We put a lot of effort, and we're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
In this case, five reasons.
We don't mess around.
The top five reason, number five, is in case we want to crash your wedding, which you already did today.
Yeah.
And what's number four?
Our jazz album just dropped.
That's right.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
When did that drop?
Just recently.
That's right.
As I look at my watch.
Keith, you're not wearing a watch.
No, it's on my time's on my phone.
Oh.
but the people in Radio Land.
Yeah, they don't
can
know.
See me.
They don't know.
Raising my hand.
So number four, we recently released a jazz album.
We,
and what we feel the need to perform the album.
Well, this is what we were wearing on the cover.
We had the photo shoot.
Remember, right? Yeah.
So we're wearing the suits incidentally to the photo shoot that happened at some point in recent memory.
Yeah.
For the album which dropped today.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's good, right?
Top five reasons why we're currently wearing suits in the studio. Number five, going to crash some weddings, or we already did. Number four, we recently dropped a jazz album. Number three, what's number three?
well, you know those bands that wear suits on stage?
Right.
Like some bands will just dress up for that.
Sure.
We had a conversation. I mean, let's drop the facade here.
The facade's done.
We obviously, for this to be happening, for us to be sitting here in suits, everyone. Mm-hmm. Looking
as opposed to
really
t-shirts
or
shorts
or these shoes,
flip-flops.
We had a discussion about it, and we thought let's do that. We like that when bands do it, when they look the same and they dress the same, and it's a clean look. We don't want any long hairs or plaid jackets. We want to all look the same, like we're on the same team, and we're all trying to achieve the same goal. So we thought let's coordinate that
business style.
Yeah,
like we're ready to do business.
Yeah,
so it's professionalism, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know, we're professionals.
And I think we nailed it.
And not professionals in the sense that we're compensated monetarily.
Yeah.
We don't, that's not why we're professional. We don't, it's not for the money.
No.
It's for a sense of, you know, pride in how we dress and how we conduct ourselves.
We want to look good. We want to do good. We want to feel good.
Great.
Yeah, it's all linked.
Great. What's the number two reason?
This one's, you feel free to argue with me on this one. It's very important to me. Number two is that I really, really like the color salmon.
Okay, salmon.
So the tie, right?
Right, obviously
you're
wearing a salmon.
Yeah, for everyone out there,
salmon color tie, as am I.
Yeah.
We both are.
Which I really appreciate, even though, you remember when you went to the store, you got coral, and we had there were fisticuffs. But we don't need to talk
that
about
that. That was the color, coral?
Yeah, yeah. We don't need to be negative on the radio, but you really messed up, But anyway,
we need to be negative off the radio.
Yeah.
On the radio, we don't need to do that.
Well, that's one of the things. When you put on the suit and you tie up the tie, you feel better. You leave all that behind you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love the color salmon. I don't get a chance to wear it very often.
But why the suit? You could just wear the tie, right? You could wear a dickie.
Yeah.
A dickie, right?
Yeah, I do know what a dickie is.
And
the
tie.
The only dickies I have are turtlenecks.
Too warm.
Yeah.
Too warm.
And it just doesn't look right with a tie.
Okay, great. So that's number two. And again, we're counting down the top five reasons why Keith and I are currently wearing suits in the studio when really that shouldn't serve any specific purpose. What is the number one reason?
A sense of irony, Jeff.
A sense of irony.
Yep.
That's all that needs to be said.
It explains itself.
You know, it's funny, Keith, when we do these top five lists, that's always your answer for number one. It's always irony always
Get
wins.
Get used to it, fans of our show.
The bad news is that for those that tune in and look forward to the top five, there's sort of an anti-climax because they know what it is.
Yeah.
But for fans of irony, irony wins.
Yeah, and for it's like there's two groups of fans, the fans who call themselves the fans of the top four
and
the fans of only the one.
That's right.
Separate group entirely, tuning in for different things.
Perfect. So that's this week's edition of Top 5 with Keith, where we've discussed the top five reasons why we're wearing suits in the studio. Number five, wedding crashing. Number four, recently released jazz album. Number three. We should have written this down.
I was just going to say, I don't remember. Irony was number one, though. Irony was
number one. Number two was the salmon?
Yes, number two was salmon.
And number three was in there somewhere.
Yeah, so, okay, out there, everyone out there, if you remember what number three was and want to send it to our show.
It will be a real a testament to your investment in the show if, unlike us, you remember what number three is and you're willing to now remind us of that for our own purposes.
Tweet it to me. I'll find something for you.
Very good. That's the top five this week. And folks, you are listening to Now We're Talking with Jeff Bryant, hosting on CITR 101.9 FM. Earlier in the show, we had Martin Acosta, who's a Vancouver musician. I did an interview with him a few days ago. We heard from him, and there was a possibility he was going to call in so that we could get a conversation happening between you, Keith, and Martin. But I've now heard from him. It's such bedlam, wherever it is he's watching the game. It's a big game that's happening right now between Chile and Argentina. Mm. It's just, it's too intense. It's not radio friendly.
Yeah, this is always a possibility with an Argentinian watching the Argentina soccer team.
And we knew that.
Yeah.
We were prepared for that possibility.
Yeah, we just wanted you out there to know it could be coming.
So I hope, I mentioned it was possible. It's not going to happen this show. I hope that's not devastating to anybody. I hope they're not angry with me for making false promises. But the good news is, if you enjoyed hearing from Martin, in the context of that interview, Martin will be in studio sooner or later, either on the phone or in person. I'm looking forward to having you two meet. Have you guys met face to face?
Met him.
Yeah, both of you are part of my life.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him. I really enjoyed the interview because, there was definitely a kindred spirit thing going on there, the way he discussed it and sort of his journey. I think as a musician, he was quite a bit more successful than I ever was at sport, but it was I felt what he was talking about. I hope that other people did too. I hope that everyone who listened to it got a sense of that, that you can change it up. I love that. I find that very courageous when people do that, when they go, you know what, this isn't working, I'm going to change it up.
Yeah, that's what I found interesting about his story, was that it was a very deliberate experience where he sort of received that advice, you need to find a different thing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that if you had a very specific idea of what you wanted to do with your life, even if it is as an adolescent, it can be very, like, you know, it could be very difficult to just jump back on the horse with something else.
Yeah.
So it's cool that he was able to do that. But yeah, I really look forward to chatting with both of you at the same time and listening to you guys chat it out.
Mm-hmm.
Chat it
out. Wax poetic.
Yeah. And the fact that you both are the, you know, of all the people I know, the two of you are the biggest football guys. I love that too.
Yeah.
And there's still Euro Cup happening.
Yeah.
You know, we had tonight Copa's going to wrap up, but we still got Euro Cup coming in. What do you want to do, Keith? We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. We've got options. You know, we can play that jazz album
time
that we recently dropped. We can put that on in the background.
Oh,
if
no,
you want
that cost that cost us a fortune.
Let's give people a taste. Let's give them a little taste.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. Oh, yeah, there. Yeah, that's we're doing.
There's
it.
There's that solo you did.
Yeah, I've been playing that instrument my whole life. Flugelhorn?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I love that you say that with a question mark.
Yeah,
just like how you play.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I love the flugelhorn so much that every time I say flugelhorn, it comes out.
I think it's all the flugelhorn playing
that causes
you to speak
the incessant
with question marks
flugeling.
Yeah. So we can talk about the album if you want to. Other options are we could go into a football segment if we wanted to. We could do a little bit of dream talk.
Ooh.
Do you want to do some dream talking?
I do. I know you're just putting that out there because you know I want to so badly, and I appreciate that.
And what kind of, do you want to do regular old dreams, or do you want to do your hopes and aspirations kind of dreams?
Let's do hopes and aspirations.
You want to try that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pull that up in a second. And if you're just tuning in, Keith, you tell them, what are they listening to right now?
You are listening to 101.9 CITR.
That's right, that's exactly what you're doing. And right now we're going to have a little, a new section here, a new segment called Keith Talking Hopes and Dreams and Aspirations and Something Like That.
Dream Talk with Keith. Regular old dreams. The kind that we all have when we're asleep. Dreams.
That's right. Hopes and Dreams with Keith.
Yeah, it's funny. I was setting you up because I was going to get you to play the other one. And then I was going to say, no, actually, I just want to talk about the dream I had last night. And then you,
regular old dreams.
Jeff, in the studio, Jeff looked at me, cocked an eyebrow and played the other one because he knew that I was messing with him.
Sly.
Yeah.
That's sly of me.
Good on you, buddy.
So you had some dreams this week?
Yeah, a lot of crazy ones. The one I wanted to talk about, which I thought was really fun and sort of lends itself to the creative talk we've had today, is that sometimes when I have dreams, I have plot points in them because I edit and I create things every day. And it's finally, over years and years of worrying about things like that, my dreams start to put, like, characterizations and plot points. So I had this dream the other day that was, like, a complete film. And it had Jared Leto.
Okay.
And I was the prince. So I should start with that. I was the prince of some country.
And just to clarify, has he featured in your dreams before?
Never.
New one?
Never.
Okay.
And I like him. I saw a documentary about his band that was really good. He seems like a really nice guy.
Okay.
Going to be the Joker in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie.
That's right.
In case people don't know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Also won an Oscar for the movie with Matthew McConaughey.
Which was called Dallas Buyers Club.
Nicely done.
Nice.
Good pull. Yeah. So I'm the prince. Jared Leto is my butler. And he's got one of those, like, I'm obviously handsome, but I dress, you know, like a butler, obviously. But he has, like, dumpy hair, and he's not all that attractive. He's not confident. And so, okay, this is where dream crazy stuff happens. Because of the alien overlords in my dream, we can only ship rice. So the woman, the princess, that's coming in to marry me has to be shipped in a rice milk crate.
The metaphor. I can already imagine what this might mean.
We've talked about this. Everyone has crazy dreams. And I think everyone thinks their dreams are the craziest. And I am no different. I think I have the craziest dreams.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Anyway, so what happens is this story plays out like a film where Jared Leto is teaching the princess how to be regal so that I can accept her after she gets shipped in her milk crate.
All right.
And the story plays out that he slowly comes out of his shell through processing that she's a beautiful woman and she's really great. And moral of the story is in the dream, that's actually not the moral. The finale of the dream is that they choose each other instead of me. And then I woke up. But I would like to think that Prince Keith thought, hey, go ahead. You can have the princess and you've earned it and it'll be a big happy ending. As opposed to whatever would happen with the alien overlords when they found out that I didn't marry who I was supposed to.
And did you figure out what the metaphors were?
Well, I think maybe I'm lactose intolerant, first of all.
I think that might be true.
There are other reasons to think that we won't go into on the radio. But also, I think it has something to do with my own insecurities. A lot of dreams seem to be about that. A lot of people's recurring dreams, I have those as well. I think that's like am I good enough? Do I need to come out of my shell more? Probably even has something to do with the fact that I'm on the radio right now and I hadn't done that before.
There you have it, folks. We're talking dreams.
Yeah.
We're talking dreams. We got Leto. We got all sorts of things in there. And Leto, he's always a source for metaphors.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy.
Maybe he was the part of the dream that wasn't. Maybe he was the literal part of the dream.
Maybe. But what is it, him or the character that he played? Do you remember My So-Called Life, that TV show?
I do.
Where he played the handsome guitar-playing guy?
I never saw the show, but I remember the show with Claire Danes, and he was in the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like a brooding, smoking hot.
He kind of had a hairstyle. Like, you had a similar hairstyle, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I had some long hair. I had rock star aspirations when
I was younger. Yeah, kind of like the hair that cascades down over your
long
forehead.
Like I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, but you did.
Yeah, but I totally did.
But so, you figured it out exactly.
Yeah, like that part where you put product in and then you let it dry. And then you hair dry it and then you chrome it.
Yeah.
So it looks like you were surfing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Which you weren't doing. You weren't surfing.
Not a surfer. Terrified of the water.
Well, you know, Keith, we're coming up near to the end of the show. And I want to try something here.
Yeah. What do we? Oh,
we're going to talk about what we learned today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not sure what we learned or if we learned anything. But in case we did, it's important that we review it. And also for the listener, if they're just tuning in or if they're wondering whether this was a useful experience, which that might be in question.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I'm certain that it is.
Yeah.
A little bit of jazz in the rain.
Yep.
Us reviewing. What did we learn?
Yeah.
What did we learn today? So first and foremost, we had that interview with Martin Acosta. What did we learn from that?
Well, we learned that Martin sounds like a cool cat. I really liked him.
Yeah, he's a cool cat.
I wanted to meet him.
And you haven't met him face to face. Had you not even heard the man speak?
No, never before.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought
that's
he was
really cool.
Good. First thing I thought was he'd be great in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be
really
fun to have
really
him here,
likable
for sure.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got really excited when I listened to the interview afterwards and realized, oh man, this could be a great opportunity to.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact
the three of us to chat.
Yeah, the fact that we thought that right away. I mean, how good is, what does that say about that person? That we went, wow, let's do more with him. Let's have him in here. Let's have him call in. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't call in
to
review. That's another thing we learned, that you can't expect an Argentinian
yeah.
to call in from a bar where Argentina is competing
yeah.
in a major soccer tournament
yeah.
in the finals.
Yeah.
So we learned that it's worth having that aspiration, but it's unrealistic.
Yeah, it is unrealistic.
We talked about our shared history doing theater.
Yeah, which was great. Talked
which was
about
cool.
all the confidence that you get,
yep.
that we recommend that. You get that in sport too, to be clear. We're not sport haters.
That's true.
We love it all.
There's just something about that specific age of sports. I think that a lot of
yeah.
people that a
if
lot
you,
of people come back.
It.
I mean, you play sports again now as an adult, and you sort of it's just that specific period where there's that a streak of competition, yeah. which can be healthy, but can also become yeah. really distorted.
It's like the puberty of sports.
It
like
is
you
the
have,
puberty
you have
of sports.
A separate puberty, and then it nails you again.
So maybe that's one of the things that we learned today is that there is a pubescent period.
Yeah, in sport.
In competitive sports.
Where you either, yeah, you grow with it and you understand it, or you get out.
That's useful. That's good to know. We did Ask Keith Anything this week's edition. We discuss what the most difficult position in sports is. And again,
yeah.
not a pose, like a yoga pose,
yeah.
but specifically on
dog.
A team. And, well, it's ironic because you said goaltender for
yep.
ice hockey. And they actually probably do
yeah,
do a
lot
of poses.
Yeah, they do a lot of poses.
A lot of
probably
positions.
The most yogic position.
So maybe that's
in all
why that's
sport.
The most difficult position is because
yeah.
they do the most difficult positions.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
we covered it in every way.
And we also talked about the top five reasons why we're currently wearing suits in the studio.
Yeah.
We remembered four out of the five after we did them.
Have you remembered the third one yet?
No.
Neither have I.
Absolutely not. And nobody's let us know. Folks, you're listening to... That's what we learned this week. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This has been Now We're Talking. I invite you to stay tuned. More Than Human is coming up soon. Soonish. And we're going to be here every Sunday at 6 p.m. Keith, any final words from you?
Go Argentina.
Go Argentina. You know, I haven't been keeping track on the game, but I think that I sense that it's going to go well. And, of course, we're dating ourselves. If somebody listens to this podcast in 2 years, they'll
yeah.
think, who cares? Why are you telling us this? Anyway, folks, take care, and we'll see you next week.